The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Saulnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.
Well, welcome to the Retirement and IRA Show, EDU edition. We're on today's episode, we're going to discuss the basics of the backdoor Roth contribution. So we've alluded to this on other shows, talk about it quite a bit on the Q&A show, but sometimes people just need either a refresher, or if they're new to the concept of a backdoor Roth contribution, they need to know the basic steps. We're going to cover the basics of the backdoor Roth contribution today. Welcome to the show. Jim Saulnier's here with me as well. My name's Chris Stein.
Hey, Chris, how are you today?
Doing pretty well, although I'm having to head to the dentist in a
you
little bit.
You have to head to the dentist real quick. So this EDU show is not going to go as long as typical. So that's why we're covering the basics of the back door. The thing I do want to point out is one of my pet peeves. It's a backdoor Roth conversion.
Nope. You just pet peeved yourself.
Nope. Backdoor Roth IRA conversions. That's how Ed calls them. He calls them conversions.
Ed is misled.
Do we call them contributions
or
conversions?
Because that's what it is. You don't have to do a backdoor conversion. Conversions are allowed for anyone.
True.
It's what you're doing is you're accomplishing effectively a contribution, but you're going through the back door via a conversion process. So I would take issue with Ed if he were sitting here in front of me.
You know what? I am going to take my chastisation of you away.
Uh-oh.
It is the way I'm looking at the notes from Ed, and at the top it clearly is written backdoor Roth IRA conversions, but then Ed writes on number four of his four items to remember. Want to know what number four is?
His pet peeve that it's actually a backdoor Roth contribution?
Nope. He says it's a conversion, not a contribution.
Mm-hmm. You're doing a conversion to accomplish, in effect, a contribution into the Roth, which you otherwise would not be able to make.
I don't think there's a uniformly accepted description of if this is a backdoor Roth contribution or a backdoor Roth conversion. We call it, do we call it? I'm confused now.
I know you've confused yourself.
I've confused
myself. We call it a backdoor Roth contribution.
Because anyone can do a conversion.
Correct. So there's no reason to talk about a backdoor on a conversion.
Gotcha.
You want to walk in the front door, you can't, because you're, for whatever reason, and I guess we should just start with the basics here, that you, if you have lack the ability to make a direct contribution to your Roth IRA, usually because of an excess of earnings, of income that you have in that particular year. There are earnings limits, which for a married couple, isn't it about $200,000 now? I didn't memorize the 2019 numbers. You probably should have looked that up. But if you exceed certain income limits, you're not allowed to make a direct Roth contribution. So others created this, we just embrace it, a technique for making effectively a contribution, but going through the back door via a couple
conversion.
Of steps that involve a conversion. But the effect, the net effect is if done correctly, following these basic steps, you can in effect make that contribution you wanted to the Roth. That's why, in my opinion, it should be called, and we call it, the backdoor Roth contribution.
Well, it definitely is, because a key element to remember, if you cannot contribute to a traditional IRA, meaning if you don't have a job with earned income. You can have income. You can have dividends. You can have interest. You can have pension payments, Social Security payments. You can have a ton of taxable income. But it doesn't mean you can contribute to a Roth IRA or a traditional IRA. If you cannot contribute to an IRA, you can't get money into a Roth whether through the back door or front door.
Correct.
However, you can convert a traditional IRA to a Roth IRA whether you have a job or not.
Correct.
Whether you are over the age of 70 and a half or not, doesn't matter. Anyone of any means, Warren Buffett himself, can convert if they had an IRA. So I'm going to stick with our original
naming convention.
I was going to think a name a culture. Isn't that a word?
Name a culture?
Name a culture?
No.
No?
Nomenclature.
Nomenclature. That's
what
it.
You're thinking. Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Name a culture. That's.
Well, I was close.
You were pretty close. Yeah. I get it.
Is nomenclature the word I was looking for?
Nomenclature?
Whatever.
That, I think, was the word you were looking for, yes.
Would that apply in this situation?
Yeah.
If you want. Excellent. So here's the word. I nailed it.
Okay.
Thereabouts.
Let's go with that.
Or we can stick with naming convention.
Yeah.
All right. One of the two.
Yeah.
I don't even know where the hell I'm going with that now.
We're going to stick to calling it a Roth.
Yes, Roth. Backdoor. Roth. Contribution.
Perfect.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Now, the first thing that we run into, we used to run into this all the time, especially with CPAs. CPAs tend to be sticklers on certain things called rules. And they used to always, not they, but a lot of them, would say to planners, my client, and I had this happen to me a few times, my client is not going to do that. It will fall afoul of the step doctrine rule.
Well, before you go to that, since we are talking basics here, mm-hmm. let's just do a quick 15 seconds on the basics.
I'll let you do that because I'll go on
right.
for an hour.
So if you cannot make the rules, you have earned income and what you'd like to do is make a Roth contribution, but you're not allowed because you have too much earned income. You violate that threshold. What you are allowed to do at any income level is make a non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA. People don't think about those much. It's the forgotten child of contributions. We always think of pre-tax deductible contributions to traditional IRAs and then after-tax contributions to Roths. But you can make an after-tax non-deductible contribution to a traditional IRA no matter your earnings level. People aren't aware of that. The earnings limits that apply to traditional IRAs are limits on the deductibility of the contribution. But in this case, that's not what you're caring about because you're not trying to take to the deduction. You're trying to pay the taxes now and put it in the Roth. But instead, you can try this backdoor technique, which is to make the contribution to your traditional IRA. And for cleanliness and ease of explanation, let's pretend you have an empty IRA right now. The traditional IRA will gladly accept your non-deductible contribution, and then you immediately turn around and convert that money into the Roth, and that second step is a tax-free transaction because you've already paid taxes on the money that goes into the traditional IRA, and therefore that money ends up in the Roth where you want it in the first place, only it went through the back door by hitting the traditional IRA first, then being converted. Then we get to Jim's issue that's being raised, which is historically there's been some question as to the allowability of the backdoor Roth technique that some CPAs and other legal minds argued that this might be a violation of the step doctrine.
Right.
Which is what Jim's headed for.
And we, as planners, at least at our firm, my firm, I never felt it would fall afoul of the step doctrine rules. But let's back up a little and explain why some CPAs used to think this. Remember, people, keep in mind, even though Chris just said, anybody, as long as you have earned income, can contribute to a non-deductible IRA. In other words, if you're going to put $6,000 in, $7,000 or $5,000 several years ago, and that was the limit, today it's $7,000 if you're over 50. If you were going to put that money in, you had to earn at least that much mm-hmm. in order to get it into a traditional IRA. Your ability to deduct those contributions, as Chris just said, that's going to depend on your overall income and whether or not you were covered by an employer plan or not, and whether or not you were married to someone who's employed. And we're not going to get into the deductibility of contributions on today's show. We could do a whole separate EDU show on that.
Because we're not trying to deduct it in this.
No, we're not trying to deduct it. To just get it in. But why do you have to do that? Why can't you just put it in a regular Roth IRA and be done with it? And here's where I wish the government would change the law. Because they have set a rule that says, and we'll do 2019 numbers, if your modified adjusted gross income, which is pretty much your adjusted, excuse me, your gross income, subtracting out, for the most part, money that you put in your 401k and other employer type accounts. And there's something in there you can deduct for foreign taxes paid, but don't worry about that. Very few people do that. But for the most part, it's your gross income minus that one modification. You'll come up with your modified adjusted gross income. If that number, if that earnings is greater than $193,000 and you are a married couple, and that's not hard to do if you're living in a high-cost state like California outside of San Francisco, say, or probably even San Diego, or in New York City. You could have two public sector workers who make more than $200,000. Mm-hmm. So if you are married and your modified adjusted gross income is greater than $193,000 and less than $203,000, that's the little window, a $10,000 window.
It's a phase out.
You can put some of your annual contribution in. But if you earn more than $203,000 of modified adjusted gross income, you can't put anything in a Roth IRA.
As a contribution.
As a contribution. Mm-hmm. If you are single, those numbers are lower. They're not quite half, but they're lower. If you earn less than $122,000 of modified adjusted gross income, you can put money into a Roth IRA no problem. If you earn more than $122,000 but less than $137,000, there is a phase out. Notice the single people get a $15,000 phase out. Married people only get a $10,000 phase out. And if you are single and earn more than $137,000, you cannot contribute to a Roth. Now, notice they don't double that to $174,000 for married couples. They don't do that doubling. It's only $203,000 for married couples. So a little bit of a marriage penalty there. So if you can't put money into a Roth IRA directly, the thought was, why don't I put money into a non-deductible IRA? Anybody can do that. And then I can convert it to a Roth IRA. Because in 2010, the rules were changed. There used to be a limit if you earned more, single or married. If you earned more than $100,000 of adjusted gross income, modified adjusted gross income, you could not convert an IRA to a Roth. They got rid of that rule, mostly as a revenue raiser, so people of higher means would start converting, because when you convert, they get to tax you that year and they get more money. So the thought was, when that went away in 2010, they entrepreneurial wise people thought by looking and said, wait a minute. If we put money in a non-deductible IRA and then converted it because this earnings limit went away, our clients who are earning more than these limits can get money into a Roth.
Yep.
So that's how the strategy was born. But there's a rule in the IRS code called the Step Doctrine Rule, which says if you do a series of and I'm dumbing this down, so if you're a CPA, please, I know I'm not quite explaining it right. But if you do a series of seemingly unrelated, innocent, and totally legal steps that eventually, if done in chronological order, lead to an outcome that is not on its own allowed, they're going to disallow that event.
Right. It's kind of a way to preemptively close loopholes. Essentially, the attempt is, we've borrowed this. If you figure out a way through the back door, you know, or through a series of steps and you end up being able to do it anyway, we're going to call that a foul. We're going to say, no, you can't do that. That's effectively the step right. doctrine rule.
Now, the reason why I never believed in that is because a man far, far smarter than me told me, don't worry about it. And that man's name is Ed Slott. During one of our classes, Ed walked the class through the step doctrine rule and explained to us why, in his opinion, because of certain ways that rule is applied, why it would not apply here. And he felt adamant, don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into that because it's a moot point at this point.
Now it is, yeah.
So that's why I never worried about the step doctrine rule. However, there are still people out there worried about it. There's still some tax professionals out there who don't know that in July of last year, July 11th, if you want to know the exact date,
2018,
the IRS sanctioned this. And here's how they did it. There was a gentleman named Donald Kiefer Jr. He is a tax law specialist in the Employee Plan and Agreement section or department of the IRS Tax Exempt and Government Entities Division. Imagine his business card.
Yeah.
That's a big ass business.
It's very impressive.
There's a lot going on there. We'll just call him Don. But this is who the guy is. Mm-hmm. So he's a higher up guy. He said on July 10th, on a Tax Talk Today webcast reported by Tax Notes, in case you're wondering who the website was hosting the podcast, when asked specifically about the back door, here is what he had to say. And again, this comes from Donald Kiefer of the IRS. Yes, it's official. The long-running debate on whether a backdoor Roth is legal is over. It's legal.
Period.
Can you be any more specific?
That's very specific.
I thought it was pretty specific.
And that's a result of wording that Congress put out in legislation, and he said that means it's done. Nail in the coffin. No more worry about the step doctrine rule. It's over.
He went on to say, and this is what Ed was laughing about. The reason the IRS never sanctioned this, it was the name. They don't like the name backdoor. Mm. Don went on to say, I think the IRS's only caution would be whenever we see words like backdoor or workaround mm-hmm. or other step transactions that enable a way to get around limits, especially statutory contribution limits, you will generally find the IRS is not happy and prepared to challenge those. But in this case, this one that we are talking about, it is allowed under the law. You can't be any more specific than what Mr. No. Kiefer said right there.
Yep.
But he pointed out the IRS never sanctioned the back door because it was described as a workaround mm-hmm. and it was named back door, and the IRS just doesn't like that name. And he's saying we never liked it. However, you also have to understand it's not just the IRS sanctioning that. It was also Congress.
Right.
Because when the Tax Cuts and Job Act was passed, in the Congressional Conference Report that is sent out when Congress is pretty much saying, here's our intent of the law, I'm going to quote from that report. Quote, although an individual with an adjusted gross income exceeding certain limits is not permitted to make a contribution directly to a Roth IRA, that individual can make a contribution to a traditional IRA and then convert the traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. Can you be any more specific there?
Nailed it there, too.
That's Congress mm-hmm. and Mr. Kiefer from the IRS mm-hmm. pretty much saying this is okay.
Not pretty much saying.
They said it.
They're saying this is okay.
So my question to you, oh great one.
Uh-oh.
Why the hell doesn't Congress just get rid of the contribution rule then?
I don't know. I think they like to see people jump through hoops.
Just get rid of the damn rule.
I know, but it's
And say anyone can put money into a Roth up to the statutory limits.
That'd be nice. Well, they should. I'm not arguing they shouldn't. You asked me why don't they? Have you seen how they function lately?
Yeah, not too good. Okay, so now that we've established it can be done, mm-hmm. how do you do it? There's a few things to remember right off the bat. And I'm going to have Chris explain this, because if yours truly does, we're going to be here a long time. Explain to them what happens. Because remember, listeners, we've talked about this on previous podcasts. You may see multiple IRAs. We have a lot of do-it-yourselfers here. A lot of our iTunians and Androidians, affectionately known as podcastians in total. A lot of you podcastians are do-it-yourselfers. Mm-hmm. So you have money at Vanguard, Fidelity, T. Rowe Price, a lot of the big no-load mutual fund firms, or maybe the talking baby person, E-Trade, the talking baby. Well,
they haven't had the talking baby in like 15 years.
No, that's on all the time. Don't look at me. You got Joe over there looking
She's
at me.
She's laughing at you, too.
Well, she should be laughing. You don't see those
baby
commercials?
She was like 6 years old when those commercials were on.
Talking babies have been gone for a while?
Way while, yeah. Anyway, we all know what you're talking about. The talking baby commercials.
Yeah.
E-Trade, yeah.
E-Trade.
So that's a platform that they've got low-cost choices there. A lot of do-it-yourselfers are there.
Follow Chris's logic when he walks you through this, listeners. Because this can get confusing. I had a CPA once get confused over this. So let's just say, Chris, you had $100,000 in an IRA at E-Trade and $100,000 in an IRA at Vanguard and $100,000 in an IRA at T. Rowe Price. Mm-hmm. And you earn too much money to put money into a Roth IRA.
Yes.
And you heard this podcast and you think, I'm going to do a back door. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to open a brand new IRA. And I'm going to put in $5,000 and not deduct it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to put it in my $100,000 at E-Trade, Vanguard, and T. Rowe Price. That $300,000 over there, $100,000 in each account, sits there because that's all pre-tax money. I'm going to have this post-tax money, non-deductible IRA right here, and I'm going to put $5,000 in to make your math easy. Mm-hmm. I'm going to put in just $5,000, and then I'm going to convert it right away because it's perfectly legal to do. The IRS allows it. I am going to convert this 100% tax-free because I heard these guys on a podcast saying I could do that. And because I never deducted it, it's 100% tax-free because anyone can put money in a non-deductible IRA. So you go ahead, Chris, you put in $5,000 in a brand new non-deductible IRA. Never mix it with your other IRAs. You convert that $5,000 the very next day so there's not one penny of growth. And you got $5,000 in a Roth IRA and you think, I just got $5,000 in a Roth, and I don't owe any taxes on it. And then you do your taxes, and what happens, Chris?
You owe taxes. You owe quite a bit of taxes, actually.
Because of a rule, folks, mm-hmm. called the pro rata rule, and Chris is going to explain to you what we mean.
Yep. So this is why we always say it's cleanest and most attractive to do the backdoor Roth process if you have no traditional IRA monies that are pre-tax at this point. So those deductible contributions you'd normally make, hopefully you have none in order to pull this off cleanly. And the reason is, first of all, as a reminder, the IRS sees one big IRA, no matter how much you have split it up into separate accounts at separate custodians. They don't care. You have, in their eyes, one big IRA. So the fact that you've chosen to hold $100,000 at E-Trade, Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, I think were the three that he was using, they don't see that at all. They see a $300,000 IRA with $300,000 worth of pre-tax money in it. There's also a rule, so hold that in your mind for a second. There's also a rule that when you take money out of your traditional IRA, if it has basis in it or money that is post-tax, the post-tax and the pre-tax money has to come out pro rata in its percentage weights that it is represented inside the account. That's just the rule. They don't allow you to pick and choose. They don't allow you to say, okay, I want just this specific $5,000 to come out, or I want just this specific $100,000 to come out. You don't get to choose. It's just one big coffee cup. And the reason why we call it a coffee cup is it's like coffee and cream. Once you mix them together, they're mixed together. When you take it out, it's going to be mixed. Now, on a future show, we'll tell you some techniques in certain cases to separate the cream and the coffee, but that's not the topic of the show. If you're doing this standard, put the $5,000 in, it doesn't matter that you've put it off to the side in its own new account. The IRS just saw you pour $5,000 worth of cream in this $300,000 worth of coffee, and now they're mixed together in those proportions. So when you subsequently, maybe the next day, convert $5,000 into your Roth IRA, only 1.64% of that $5,000 is coming from the cream, is coming from the $5,000 you put in. The rest of it, so the vast majority of it, is going to be considered that pre-tax money that was already in there. And when you do the conversion to the Roth, you owe tax on that. So of that $5,000 that we're talking about, only $82 is going to be converted tax-free. The rest of it, so the vast majority of it, is going to be subject to taxes. Now, on one hand, you're going to owe the taxes anyway. So you're not being taxed on something you wouldn't normally be taxed on, but that maybe wasn't your plan. You're not wanting to incur the taxes this year. You're wanting to get that money in, pay the taxes only on the $5,000, and then move it over. Now you're paying the taxes on the $5,000 and paying the taxes on another $4,920 for the conversion, and maybe that's not what you wanted to do that year. That's what clutters it up, is when you
exactly
have that pre-tax money in there, you get this pro rata mixture or this coffee and cream mixture that has to come out. If you don't have any coffee in there, it's all cream. You put it in, pay the tax on it the first time by not deducting it, convert it, no further taxes. You've accomplished a perfect, clean backdoor Roth contribution. But if you've already got a traditional IRA, even if it's in a separate account, you're going to be subject to this pro rata rule.
So keep in mind, folks, a few important things because of the pro rata rule. First, as Chris said, you're not being doubled taxed. You're just being surprised. Hey, I put $5,000 in, I never got to deduct it, and now I owe taxes, in Chris's example, on $4,920?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because of the pro rata rule in the mm-hmm. example I gave you. However, that $4,920 of basis is now in your remaining $300,000 of deducted IRAs, pre-tax IRAs, let's call them that, at Vanguard, T. Rowe Price, and E-Trade. That $4,920 is not lost. You have to start tracking it, though, on Form 8606, which is the form you use to track basis. And now every distribution you ever make from any of those three IRAs is going to have a small portion of basis in it that needs to be tracked so you don't get taxed twice.
Right.
And that's where having to file Form 8606 every year comes into play. I have met some people, Chris, who say, to hell with it. It's not worth my effort and the cost of having to pay $30 a year or $20 a year or $50 a year, whatever the tax preparer is charging them to do Form 8606. It's not worth tracking $4,000, $5,000 a basis. And they say, to hell with it, I'll just pay taxes again on it. But if you don't want to do that, you have to track it every year. So you're not going to be taxed twice. You just can't specify, I only want to convert my after-tax contribution. That's why Chris and I always say it may not work if you have existing IRAs, unless you want to start tracking Form 8606 and recognize You may put $5,000 in of after-tax money this year and have to spend money on taxes on the conversion, and you're not going to get that tax savings until you drain your IRAs because you only get a little bit of basis out every time you remove money and get a little bit of a tax savings. It could take the rest of your life, if at all, to ever recoup that taxes you paid.
Right. So in an extreme example like Jim's, where you have such a little tiny bit of cream going into that coffee, we usually recommend that you take that money, instead of trying to do a backdoor with it, just use it to pay the taxes on a conversion.
Absolutely.
If you want to convert the money, just because effectively you're going to end up converting $4,920 of your traditional IRA anyway. Why not just round it up and convert the $5,000, and then you're not going to be have this surprise tax bill when you owe taxes on double almost what you had planned on doing.
What Chris is talking, and I didn't think about mentioning that on this podcast, but I like it because I like to go down rabbit holes. Mm-hmm. But what he means, folks, is if you are going to be subject to the pro rata rule, rather than dealing with that and having to deal with 8606, assuming a forward-looking tax projection justifies converting and paying taxes now, use that $5,000 and it might allow you to leverage much more money. In other words, you might be able to convert $20,000 into a Roth at a cost of $5,000 in taxes now. So you use that $5,000 instead of a backdoor contribution, you use it to pay taxes on a $20,000 conversion. That's called the leverage of a conversion. Now, that doesn't work if a tax projection analysis shows you're in a high bracket now. And again, if you're earning these limits, Chris, that are keeping you from contributing, chances are you're in a much higher bracket now. And if you're just patient, you'll be able to convert in much lower brackets in the future before required minimum distributions begin, the period of time we call your tax planning window between retirement and age 70 and a half. Now we're getting a little deep in the weeds here, but I like Chris's recommendation. You just have to make sure the tax projection analysis says, hey, yeah, it does make sense to convert now because you're going to be in a higher bracket or the same bracket in a few years, especially in light of the Trump tax cuts. A strong, strong recommendation for Chris's thought can be made because right now taxes are lower than they will be in January of 2026. Another thing to keep in mind, and I know I'm talking fast, but Chris has to go to the dentist shortly. Another thing to keep in mind, folks, if you're married, maybe one spouse can do it and the other can't. Don't overlook that. The pro rata rule does not apply across taxpayers. Right. It does not apply across couples.
And we've seen that before.
We have clients who are doing that.
Where one spouse happens to not have any traditional IRA money. So they're a perfect candidate for doing the back door. Even if they don't have a job, that's the fascinating thing. You can take, for instance, let's say the husband has no traditional IRA and also happens to not have a job. The wife has a job but has a traditional IRA, so it doesn't make any sense to do the backdoor. You can use money, the earnings of the wife, actually, to justify or allow you to make a contribution on the husband's side, even though he has no job, and do it through the backdoor Roth conversion process or contribution process. I got caught. because you're allowed to use the earnings of your spouse to qualify for making a contribution. They call it technically, you know, a spousal IRA contribution, but that's just kind of bizarre how that works. And the fact that the wife who had the earnings has the traditional IRA doesn't disallow the husband who has no earnings from doing the backdoor Roth contribution. Just kind of the way
Absolutely.
The rules work.
And one other thing I want to point out, because I have helped people do this many a times. Separate the cream from the coffee, or just separate the coffee and then do it. What do I mean by that? So let's say in our first example, you went ahead and did that and you got $5,000 in, only to find out $4,920 is basis now, that you've got this basis in a $300,000 total IRA between the three IRAs you have. And you're bumming now, Chris, because you wanted to do the back door for the next 15 years before you retired. And you're thinking, oh, damn, I thought I was onto something. And if I keep doing this, I'm going to keep growing this basis. I'm never going to get it out over my lifetime. And it's just going to sit in there because of the pro rata rule. And I'm never going to recoup the tax cost of this. There is a workaround. To separate cream from coffee, or to separate just black coffee. No cream. You never put money in. You just never did the back door because you know about the pro rata rule. And you're thinking, I can't do it. I've got a $300,000 IRA. I can't do this. Yes, you can. What you do is you hopefully have a job. Well, you have to have a job because you're working, unless you're married to a spouse who's working. So if you're not working and you're doing it as a spousal, this strategy won't work for you. But the spouse who's working, or if you're the one who's working, you get a hold of your employer's plan and find out if they accept transfers in. 99.9% do. A couple of times I've heard of plans that don't, but it's so wicked rare. You then find out for them the process for transferring money in. They usually have some paperwork you need to fill in. You fill in the paperwork and you transfer your IRAs into your employer's retirement plan, whether that's a 401k, 403b, 457, whatever the case may be. If you have no basis in your IRAs at all, no after-tax contributions, what you're left with is no IRAs.
Right.
Now you can do the back door because you have no IRAs. If you have basis in your IRA, the example we just gave of 4,920 now sitting in your IRAs. Right.
That cream mixed in there.
That cream is mixed in. You would transfer all three of your IRAs to your employer's 401k by law. After-tax money cannot be transferred into a 401k. So after-tax money remains. Everything else, including the growth on the after-tax money, transfers into your 401k. The only thing remaining is after-tax money. And here, the pro rata rule does not apply. You can choose out of the three IRAs, the one at Vanguard, the one at T. Rowe Price, or the one at E-Trade in E-Trade in my example. Where am I going to leave the 4,920? Doesn't prorate between them. I thought it did until a very man smarter than me corrected me. He said no. Does not go pro rata.
Leave it behind wherever you want.
Leave it behind in any IRA you want. Pro rata rule does not apply on that basis when you're moving to a 401k. Neat little thing to know. However, I would recommend if you're doing this, you combine your three IRAs into one and then move it.
Yeah.
Why? Ease. Mm-hmm. If not, you're dealing with three sets of paperwork.
Yeah.
It is much harder to move an IRA into a 401k than it is an IRA to an IRA. An IRA to an IRA, you simply get a hold. Let's say you're going to use, let's put everything at Vanguard and move from Vanguard to my employer. Vanguard would do all the paperwork for you to move the T. Rowe Price and the E-Trade, in my example, IRA over to them. Then you only have to do one set of paperwork at your employer, Chris, to move one IRA. But you don't have to do it that way, and you get to choose what IRA remains with 4,920. And now the brilliant thing with this, Chris, you just separated the cream from the coffee, and what happens? You can now take that 4,920 and do what with it?
Tax-free conversion into the Roth because it's already after-tax money.
Absolutely.
And it's clean. It's all cream now. It's been separated.
Exactly. One caveat on this, and here's where people get burned. A lot of times, they might say this. I don't really like the 401k. And they allow me to transfer money in and take it right back out at any time I want. So I'm going to, and let's say right now, because today is April what?
Today is May 21st.
That's what I thought. I was testing you. Very good. So today is May 21st, and I am going to move all my IRAs to my employer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take that $4,920, and now it's June 21st. I'm going to take that $4,920, and I'm going to convert it.
Perfect.
And now it's June 22nd.
And I'm going to pour that coffee back
in. No. Now I'm going to contribute, because I got no IRAs.
No, right.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to contribute to a traditional IRA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to deduct it.
Yep.
And then I'm going to convert that.
Yep.
And I'm over 50, so I just got 7,000 in.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have 11,920 in a Roth.
Mm-hmm.
It is now August 1st. I got this all done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm now going to transfer that money back out of my 401k, because I don't like that 401k's investment choice.
Take all that coffee and pour it back
in. So you're
going to
take
IRA.
That 300,000 mm-hmm. back out, which many, mm-hmm. most 401ks allow you to do that. Mm-hmm. Money you put in can usually come out at any time, mm-hmm. not all. The local hospital here in Fort Collins doesn't allow that, but most do. So you're going to take that 300,000 back out now, Chris,
mm-hmm.
and you think I'm brilliant.
You think you've satisfied everything and you've won the game.
Yep. You get that little sound effect again?
Let me find the right one here. Oh, here it is.
People, if you separate cream from coffee by moving money from your IRA to a 401k, just to get the cream out. And we have a lot of clients who do that. We have some people with 30, 40. I had one with over 80,000 of after-tax basis. They just wanted to get it out, but they didn't want to leave the money in the 401k. You can do it, but you got to do it over two tax years. Because the IRS will look at the December 31st value of 2019 and base
to determine the pro rata rule.
The pro rata rule on yep. that. So you have to have a zero IRA balance. So you move the money back out of the 401k in 2020, and then it would work. Yeah. But if you move it back out in the same year that you did the conversion, won't work.
Perfect. Yep.
Okay. I think you have to wrap it up. I just want to go through. I'm not going to describe. I'm just going to list four gotchas to watch out for, though, on the back door. You must have earned income. If you don't have a job, you can't do this. It doesn't get around the earnings test. You must have a job, and you can only put in up to 100% of earned income into a non-deductible IRA in order to convert it, or $7,000 if you're over 50, $6,000 if you're under 50. You must have earned income. You cannot be over the age of 70 and a half. You cannot be over the age of 70 and a half, because people over the age of 70 and a half, Chris,
can't contribute to a traditional IRA.
Right. There's a law working its way through Congress to abolish that rule, but right now the rule is there. The pro rata rule will apply. Please don't forget that. We talked about that a lot. And this is a conversion. Remember that. It's not technically a contribution to a Roth. It is a conversion to the Roth. So each conversion has its own separate five-year rule if you need to remove that conversion. But that shouldn't be a problem, because if you're doing all this and you want to take the money out within the first 5 years, I got news for you. Don't do it.
Right. Don't waste your time doing that.
Okay, I just wanted to mention those last few little things on the back door. But you have our blessing to do it. Listen to this podcast a few times for the little gotchas we gave you. And if you have any questions about how to do it, or if you're eligible to do it, or how does it work, especially separating cream from coffee, how do I move IRAs into my 401k? How do I get them back out? What's the timing on doing all that so I don't get burned? Don't hesitate to reach out to us. Chris and I often say we are living, breathing, practicing financial planners. Even though we're located in the state of Colorado, we work with people throughout the United States. And we actually, radical concept I know, just charge you for our advice and or time. So if you want to buy a little bit of our time and chat to us on the phone and see if we can help you put all this in order, what steps do you do? How do you do all the moving? How do you fill in the paperwork? If you're just looking to talk to someone who can help you, we're available. But if you ever are wondering if Chris and I can assist you with more deeper retirement planning topics as well, how to spend, how to bucket, how to protect, how to even project if you can retire based on our concept of minimum dignity floor and all these items we talk about, then you should schedule what we call a coffee and a second opinion. Find out if our firm can help you. And again, unique to our firm, we don't have to manage your assets. We don't have to take 1% of your assets and roll financial planning in for quote-unquote free, all in an effort to take money from you based on the size of your accounts. You can continue to be a do-it-yourselfer and manage your own assets, but use our firm as a sounding board and a way to find out and get answers to a lot of these more involved questions and concepts.
Perfect. So thanks, everybody, for joining us here. Check out our Q&A show if you haven't already, and we'll be back with you next week with a brand new show.
The Retirement and IRA Show represents the words and views of the show hosts exclusively and should not be construed as investment, legal, or tax advice. All information is believed to be from reliable sources. However, we make no representation as to its completeness or accuracy. All economic and performance information is historical in nature and is not indicative of any future results. Any indices mentioned on the show are unmanaged and cannot be invested in directly. Diversification and asset allocation strategies do not assure profit or protect against loss. Never make any investment or financial decisions based on information offered on this show without first consulting your financial, legal, or tax advisor. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research Incorporated, a broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors Incorporated, a registered investment advisor. Financial planning services offered through Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Jim Solnier & Associates, LLC, and Cambridge are not affiliated.